Aside from teaching at Miami University, Bob Batchelor is a writer who explores notable figures in contemporary literature like F. Scott Fitzgerald and John Updike, as well as icons of popular culture, such as the hit television series Mad Men and Bob Dylan. His latest work, Stan Lee, The Man Behind Marvel, shows how a Depression-era kid from Manhattan named Stanley Lieber changed the face and perception of comic books forever. Bob, thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
First off, what drew you to the subject of Stan Lee?
Well, I'm a lifelong comic book fan, like so many Gen Xers. I grew up reading Stan Lee's comic books, particularly Spider-Man. In fact, going back to my earliest days, I taught myself to read because an uncle had given me a stack of Spider-Man comics before I was able to read. So I think the combination of The Electric Company, Sesame Street, and Marvel Comics got me really able to read, and then just started a lifelong fascination with comic books, with reading and writing, and it really launched my career, what I'm doing today.
And you had the opportunity to meet Stan Lee last year at the Comic Expo. Tell me about that experience.
Well, we were lucky enough to get press passes and waited around all day to meet Stan Lee because there were just hundreds and hundreds of fans. And they had all paid a premium to meet Stan Lee and to get pieces autographed. The thing that struck me is that I stood there and watched people and interviewed them as they came out of the line to talk to Stan Lee. And it was like Christmas morning. They had huge smiles on their faces. You would have expected like they just met the Easter Bunny or something. It was phenomenal to see. So at the end of the day, I got to meet Stan and spend some time talking with him. And I had goosebumps. It was an amazing experience because I had spent so much time reading his books. And he thanked me at the end of the interview for asking him intelligent questions. He said, most of these morons just want to ask me about who my favorite character is. And that's actually the first impression I've ever done of Stan Lee. And I think it was pretty good.
And did you tell him at the time that you were writing a book about him?
I wanted to so badly, but my editor was afraid. Because when you tell somebody you're writing a book about them, they can react really negatively. This book is not authorized. It's archively based. It's research based, but written for a general audience. And there's always a fear when you're in the trade book publishing business that if you announce something too much or tell somebody that a bigger house with more money could hire somebody to come in to beat your book out of the gate. And so there's actually kind of a publishing insider fear about telling Stan. He knows about the book. His handlers know about the book. Knock on wood, he hasn't said anything negative. I think he's going to like the book if he does read it. I want to establish that he's one of the most important popular culture icons of his era, and who wouldn't want that designation?
The book description says, this is a biography of a man who dreamed of one day writing the great American novel, but ended up doing so much more. What do you mean by that? What does Stan Lee mean to you?
Yeah, Stan Lee wanted to write the great American novel as a kid, like so many creative people do. He got into the publishing business as a teenager, and by 18, 19 years old, he's running Marvel Comics. He is Marvel Comics. He's a one-man operation. What he found is so much of his early career, people looked down on him for writing comic books. Comic books weren't up on a pedestal like they are today. There weren't collectors. There weren't people interested in comic books as art. They were just commodities, mountains of paper to be moved. So I think Stan Lee always felt less than in his early career. So by the time he creates Fantastic Four with Jack Kirby and his team of artists, they begin rolling out these great comic books, he's a 40-year-old wonder, you know? So it's later in life when he hits the big time. So I think that this is an important facet of his personality. What we now know with the importance of Marvel and the superhero narrative is that Stan Lee and his co-creators really created the foundation of popular culture for the 20th century. And that narrative is even more important now with the fascination over Marvel movies, which seems to never end and never slow down.
Well, you also outlined in your book that at the time that Stan Lee created the Fantastic Four, he was about to call it quits.
Yeah, the information varies, and you have to go with the recollections of the people who were there. But yeah, he was on the verge of quitting. He had had just about enough in that era. In the late 50s, the comic book industry was almost destroyed because some people thought that comic books led to juvenile delinquency. And it got as far as congressional Senate hearings looking into the topic. And so Stan was barely holding Marvel together. He had brought back some of the freelance writers, but he had had enough. He looked out there. He was an enterprising guy and said to himself, I could write movies, I could write novels, I could manage and edit magazines. There was a lot on the horizon for him. At the very last minute, he went to his wife and said, I'm going to quit. And she said, give it one more chance, write the comic book you would want to read, and put it out there and see what happens. And thankfully, that became the Fantastic Four. The combination at that moment of Jack Kirby, his ideas, his history in comic books, combined with what Stan Lee was bringing to the table, made magic.
Well, I also think there's a lot of influence from the sociopolitical atmosphere of the time, because you have things like the Cuban Missile Crisis, or just the proliferation of nuclear weapons in general, and people are more aware of gamma rays and cosmic rays and things like that that Jack Kirby and Stan Lee brought into the storyline in the, you know, the creation of the Fantastic Four itself. So they totally changed not only how comics are created, but how the characters evolve.
If you look at the first issue of Fantastic Four, there's a monster coming up out of the street. So there's this heavy science fiction aspect, which played right into the times. You open up the comic, and these regular people are given superpowers by gamma rays. Nobody really knows what gamma rays are at the time. Now, we don't even know if gamma rays really exist, but it's a cool concept in that era. And so what I try to do throughout the book is not only give a straightforward biography of Lee, but I'm really interested in bringing readers the context of the era, like this point you mentioned. In the Cold War, we were looking for heroes, and the superheroes kind of played right into that. And so the context, I think, is something that isn't taught enough or isn't thought about enough, but you can't really understand any topic without understanding the cultural context of that era.
And that sort of mixture of sci-fi and Cold War culture comes through in the creation of the Incredible Hulk, the creation of the Avengers with the quote-unquote rebirth of Captain America, bringing this character back from the golden era of comic books into present day. And there's a lot of prior to this. Marvel seemed to be following or reacting to DC or the other comic creators. And it wasn't until Stan Lee and Jack Kirby started this that they became the leaders in how comic narratives are established.
Yeah, like I mentioned, for 20 years before the superhero fad begins, Marvel is a second-rate company. They're following the lead of other comic book makers. So if a romance comic books became popular, they would bring out a wave of romance. If movie star-based comic books became popular, Gene Autry and things like that, they would run with those. So Martin Goodman, who was the publisher of Marvel, he was a businessman first. He loved his magazine side of his business, but the comic books were just a way to make money. So he was just pushing mountains of paper. So whatever the competition did, he'd jump on that fad. The industry was so small that he had his ear to the ground, and he could kind of predict the next fad based on what his friends told him that they were beginning to look into. He would jump right on it, flood the market. As soon as it seemed to dissipate, he'd be out. And it's the really interesting thing about superheroes. Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, the others at Marvel during the heyday, they expected superheroes to go away just like romance comic books, just like monster comic books, just like horror comic books. It was just another wave to them. Thankfully, for Marvel and for Stan Lee, the superheroes stuck.
Right, and here we are 50, 60 years later, and not only are they still around, but now they're blockbuster films.
Yeah, billions of dollars of movie ticket sales, countless billion dollars of merchandise, and it's just an amazing story. It's fascinating to see how this has evolved. I can't imagine what Lee actually thinks on a day-to-day basis. because he fought for so long in the kind of the dark days of the 70s and 80s when Hollywood, television studios, and movie studios couldn't get it right. They couldn't get the superheroes right, and it got so bad that they didn't want to do anything with superheroes. Stan kind of kept that lamp lit for superheroes, and now it's everything to popular culture. You can't go anywhere in public without seeing some reference to superhero culture.
Now, I have to ask you the Stan Lee question. You made reference to Spider-Man. Is he your favorite character? Do you have a superhero or even a supervillain that you really identify with?
It's kind of crazy, but I love the Avengers. I waited my whole life for that Avengers movie. I had goosebumps throughout the entire film. If I had to pick a single character, I love Spider-Man. You know, it's almost impossible not to love that geeky kid turned superhero. I love Spider-Man, but the Avengers are what really do it for me. Marvel had a strange little line of comic books in the 70s called What If? And they would take the stories that we know, the origin stories that we know, and they would play around with them. And they even said, these happen on multiple Earths or alternative Earths. I loved those comic books. And one of my favorite issues, Iron Man actually dies. And he dies at the hands of Hulk and Submariner. I love those comics. It changed the way I thought about history because I thought there are alternative ways of looking at things. And this has stuck with me my entire career. You don't have to believe what's in the textbook. You can look it up yourself and figure out what's going on. And for me, it all began with Marvel comic books. It's shocking to me that how I think, you know, things go full circle.
So you'll be at this weekend's Cincinnati Comic Expo. What other personal appearances do you have scheduled for the near future?
Yeah, Sunday morning, I'm going to do a panel at the Comic Expo called Stan Lee and the Marvel Universe, which I think is going to be a lot of fun because so many fans, they love Stan Lee. They want to know more about him. And I'm also planning some readings at Barnes & Noble in Westchester in November for the Thor movie coming out and some other area appearances.
Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you for coming in, Bob.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a great time.
My guest has been Bob Batchelor, author of Stan Lee, The Man Behind Marvel. For links to more information about the book and its author, please visit wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jim Nolan.